94. I woke up this morning with a passage of scripture on my mind and my heart. I woke up with, you'll have to forgive me, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise.
Right.
And it just was resonating with me and just kept going through my mind, that one sentence. And so I didn't know exactly what I would be preaching. I had a pretty good idea, but I got to thinking about what is that promise that the Lord's not slack on. And if you go back and read that whole chapter, that promise that he's not slack on is his promise of him coming again.
That's right.
That's what that promise is. Amen. This is our blessed hope. We often, I think sometimes that we get our hope confused. We put our hope in heaven. And heaven is the place and the home of the redeemed. And we're going there. But our blessed hope is not in the fact that we get to go to heaven when we die. It's in the fact that Jesus is coming to get us again. And our blessed Redeemer is not slack concerning his promise. By the way, that's the verse right after the verse where he said a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years. See, we like to pick little verses out of that passage of Scripture and use them all. But when you go back and put it in what we like to call context, somebody say amen right there, we find that all that Scripture is talking about the Lord's return.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. Amen?
Amen.
That's a comfort to my heart. That's a comfort to my heart that the Lord is coming again. And so as I studied and read through that and meditated on that this morning, the Lord brought another scripture to my mind. And I got to thinking about how comfortable it was thinking about the Lord coming. I'm not afraid of the Lord coming again. I'm not scared of it. I'm ready for it. And the more that I look around in the world, the more ready I become. And the more that I hear about things that are happening in the world, the more ready I am to see Jesus. And I know that I've not always lived that way. I've not always acted that way. And even presently don't always live and act that way. But I'm looking for that blessed hope, the return of the Lord. It is a comfort and a delight to me. So that brought in the word comfort. And I got to thinking about, man, we got a lot of people that's afflicted. We were singing that song, Wretched Lives Are Oh So Sad to See, Those Who Live in Misery. And we like to be on the outside or be a fly on the wall and look at somebody else's life and point out all the reasons they got to be miserable.
Come on.
But man, there's people that are living wretched lives. They've got all the money. They've got all the toys. They've got all the good things that they think they can accumulate, and yet their heart is cold and indifferent and ungodly, and they think, man, I've got it made. I've got this, this, and this. Here, I did a study about people who accumulated a lot of things in their life, and they all had one thing in common. They were never satisfied with what they had. And I think you will find if you seek spiritual satisfaction in material things, you'll always come up dissatisfied in your life. But if you'll seek satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll comfort your soul. He'll take that affliction that you're dealing with, that mental affliction, that physical affliction, whatever the affliction may be, and He will make it into a blessing. God will take that valley, amen, and He'll use it for His honor and His glory. He'll take your weak, piddly little life and He'll use you in a great and mighty way. But you've got to be surrendered to Him. You've got to let Him have His will and His way in your life first. Psalm 94. Here it is. As soon as I get my glasses on. Verse number 16 says, Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, My foot slippeth, Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I want to preach to you this morning on the comforts from the Lord. The comforts from the Lord. Heavenly Father, please give me your wisdom. Please allow me, Lord, to preach in your power and in your ability. You know that my voice is weak. You know that my breathing is weak. Lord, you know that my body is weak today. God, I pray that as I preach, that I would do so in your power and in your ability. I pray if there be someone that is afflicted this morning, that you will comfort them. I pray, Lord, that you will cause your word to pierce into their heart and that you will allow conviction to set in and they will get the help that they need. They will submit their will to your will, Lord. I pray if there be someone here that does not know you in the free pardon of sin, someone that's lost and undone, God, that you would save them before they leave here today. Have your will and your way. Bless those watching online. Use this service, Lord, to help them as well. Give them strength and wisdom. Give them help and hope. Lord, comfort our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. I don't know about you, but I'm learning that the more I think about things, the longer I ponder on things, the more I find reason why I can't be comfortable. Matter of fact, it's my mind, my thoughts, that cause discomfort in my life. I mean, you go over there to the house with me, and I got a pretty comfortable home. We got a good couch that got the little easy chair on the end of it. You know, you reach over on the side and flip that thing up, and your legs pop up, and you stretch that thing on back, and after a work day, that's a pretty comfortable way to be. Got a good comfortable bed that I get to sleep in. Physically, I'm comfortable. Got a comfortable truck to ride in. God's been good as far as physically comforting me, and I thank the Lord for that. But there are mental discomforts. There are spiritual discomforts that we all face, at least I face them. Maybe you've graduated to some spiritual level that I haven't graduated to, and if you get there, if you'd let me know, I'd sure like to go to your school of spiritual graduation so I can get my certificate too. But I got a suspicion that I'm not alone here. And David wasn't alone here. This psalm is a psalm that is, I can't go too deep into the type of psalm that it is, but it's one where David takes his focus off of himself and puts it on the Lord. Instead of him looking at what's going on in his mind, he starts to look at what God's doing. And he says, in the multitude of my faults, in everything that's going on up here. See, I can be calm as the day is long on the outside, and on the inside, there's a tumultuous sea raging. Maybe you've never experienced that around me, and that's okay. You hang around me long enough, you'll figure it out. Amen. There are some telltale signs, but I try not to let it show because I feel like you need some steady and you need some positive and you need some okay. When you're going through your storm, the last thing you need is for the preacher to walk in, wringing his hands, shaking his knees, wondering about how he's going to make it through the day. Y'all okay? And in the multitude of my thoughts that are within me, I can't rely on Josh Agin because Josh Agin will lead Josh Agin astray. And I can't rely on Brother David Bass because Brother David Bass might lead Brother Josh Agin astray. And I can't rely on Brother Ellis because Brother Ellis might lead Brother Agin astray. And I can't rely on Brother Barry. Brother Barry might lead Brother Agin astray. I can't rely on Brother Walt. Brother Walt might lead Brother Agin astray. I can't rely on anybody else. I have to rely on the Lord. Because in the multitude of my thoughts, His comforts are what comfort me. Comfort is both a noun and a verb. Now that, I promise you, that means something. It means, comfort means to give strength to give hope, and also to ease grief and trouble. It is something that God does, and it is something that God is. Amen? It is both a noun and a verb. Some of y'all going back to third grade elementary school right now trying to remember what a noun and a verb is. Amen? Person, place, or thing. Verb is an action. Our teachers are going, "Action, thank you, preacher, for getting that right." And the things that God is, He is both a comfort and He gives comfort to us. Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." In this Christian life, we all need comfort that only God can give. Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble." The awesome thing about the Lord is that He has multiple ways of bringing comfort to our heart. I'm reminded of my grandparents years ago on my dad's side. I called them Mama and Papa. Papa died in 1991, I believe it was. And for years, Mama had gotten up and she had cooked breakfast. My grandfather's name, my Papa's name, was Willie Buford, or Wool B is what my Mama called him. Called him Wool B. And I don't know where she got that from, but that's what she called him. I called him Papa. Somebody say amen right there. So we had Papa and Mama, and Papa died in 1991. And for months after that, years really even, Mama was sickly, and so her children would come and stay with her. And one of my aunts was staying the night, and Mama couldn't walk good, had gotten up out of bed early in the morning, and she had went into the kitchen, and she had started cooking breakfast again. And she was in there cooking breakfast, and my aunt got up and went in there and said, "Mama, what are you doing? What are you in here cooking breakfast for?" And she said, "Well, I'm cooking breakfast for your daddy." And she said, "Mama, daddy's been dead for a few months now." She said, "He ain't dead. He's sitting right yonder." You say, "Oh, no, your mama done crazy." No. See, you grow up, you understand that God sends comfort in different ways. You say, "Oh, no, preacher, your grandma done..." No. God comforted my grandmama's little heart by letting her see something that you might not have been able to see it, amen? But it comforted her heart being able to get up and cook breakfast for the man that she loved and cared for 60 plus years. It comforted her heart to be able to do something one more time. God has different ways of comforting people in their troubles and trials that they go through. Our text verse that we look at here goes on to say that God's comforts delight our souls. That word delight means a high degree of gratification or pleasure. It is joy, amen? Not only does God give strength and hope, not only does He ease our grief and our trouble and give the comfort that He gives to us each and every day, but He brings us to a place of delight. So here are the comforts that bring us delight. Number one, God the Father. Y'all bear with me while I preach this morning. I might preach kind of slow today. That'd be okay with y'all? Got a little bit of a struggle bus going on. I was down there on the coast this week. Somebody say amen right there. But Baptist preachers don't go to the beach. We go to the coast. Y'all, okay. Some of y'all just got that. I love that. We had a good time down there on the coast, but that sea air was rough, amen? I don't know if the sea air was rough or just having to come back to this normal air is rough. Here are the comforts that God gives to us. One is Himself, the Father. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us that we can cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. I don't know what kind of trouble that you've got. I don't know what kind of difficulty you're dealing with, but I know that God the Father has shoulders that are big enough to bear your trouble. And I know that whatever you're facing, He's got enough power to take care of whatever it is that you're dealing with. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing." That doesn't mean when I say the words "be careful," I'm not telling you to pay attention as you go out about in your day there. Be careful for nothing. I'm telling you that you don't have to have care about anything. Be careful for nothing. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress out. You don't have to crash out. You can let God bear your burdens and bear your cares and bear your worries. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You don't have to bear the burden. There's not a burden too great for Him to bear. There's not a prayer too hard for Him to hear. There's not a need so strong that He can't meet it. There's not sin enough in your life where His grace can't defeat it. There is not tribulation that His mercy won't lead you through it. Your mind is not so messed up that His word can't renew it. And your heart is not so broken that His peace cannot mend it. God is God Almighty. He has sat on His throne, and He is in control of everything. And in order to be a comfort to your soul, God the Father. Isaiah 26 verses 3 and 4 said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." I feel like I need to say something right here. Some of y'all worried about me coughing. I can tell by the looks on your face. I ran a 5K yesterday too. Wasn't none of y'all worried about that? Got up yesterday morning, went and ran 3 hard miles, ugly miles. But I got them. Time in. I should have timed out right there, shouldn't I? There's another comfort of the Lord, the Son. God the Father, God the Son. God the Son. He's a comfort to our hearts. See, I'm not preaching to you anything that you don't already know. I'm reaffirming what you already believe. At least I hope that's what you're getting out of this. 1 John 2, 1 and 2 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man have sin, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world." We have the comfort of forgiveness. Isn't it comfortable knowing that you've been forgiven for the wrong that you've done? Isn't it comfortable knowing that God has forgiven you because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? Not because you acted better, not because you straightened up, not because you turned over a new leaf, not because you left no rock unturned, but because you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and only in Him. And because you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have been granted forgiveness of your sin. God has given you forgiveness. That ought to be the most comforting thing to the Christian. Why, preacher? Because I know me, and I know a lot of you. This is a comfort to my soul that the things that I have done in my past, God doesn't hang them over my head. See, we have an idea that God takes our sins and dangles them over our head and says, "I remember what you done." We got the Lord confused with the devil. That's what's going on in your mind. That's the accuser of the brethren. You okay? That's the accuser. That's the one that throws those past sins up in front of you. That's the ones that remind you of what you used to do. That's the devil and his wickedness, amen? And your voices that you're hearing are confusing you. Get in the Word of God. Learn from the Son of God. You've been born again. You've been forgiven. He's not holding them over your head, waiting on you to do better. He's forgiven you those. Thank God that's comfortable. Y'all okay? I threw it up in the air and caught it and didn't even drop the offering plate. There's some more comforts in the Son. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For the child of God, there's comfort while you're living. You got comfort while you're living. Spiritual comfort. While you're living in this world of trouble and trial and sorrows and difficulty, you have the blessed hope that God gives to you while you're going through life. While you're in the murky, here's what I thought about this morning. You're in the murky waters of reality. See, we like to think of reality as clarity, but reality is not always clarity. It's pretty murky out there. It's kind of like when you jump in a lake and somebody done been in there before you and they stirred the silt up and it comes up. We was out there on that little boat the other day and that little trolling motor get close to the ground. It kick all kinds of dirt up there. I looked and I thought, well, we ain't going to catch no fish now. Cast in the grass. Where's Jeff at? Yeah, within 2 inches of water. No wonder we're catching croakers. Somebody say amen right there. There's comfort even when things are murky and directions are unclear and you don't know which way to go and you've listened to all the voices all over the place and you don't know what is right. Friend of mine, there's comfort in the Word of God and there's comfort in the Son of God while you're living right now in the midst of your life, in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your difficulty, in the middle of your trial, there is comfort from the Lord. John 14, 1 through 7, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." There's that hope. There's that hope. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." There's comfort even until the end. We don't have to be afraid. Child of God, fear does not have to seize your heart every single day. Amen. There's comfort in the Son of God. I got another one for you. Some of you done already guessed it. The Holy Spirit. Or the way I grew up, the Holy Ghost. I feel the touch of hands so kind and gentle, they're leading me through paths that I must trod. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the writer's description of the Holy Spirit. I'd love to sing till you rest, but I don't know it. John 14, verses 16 through 18. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." John 14, 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." John 15, 26, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, shall testify of me." John 16, verses 7 through 15, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." Had Jesus never walked off of the face of this earth, we wouldn't have what we know as the Holy Spirit of God. We wouldn't have the comfort that you and I have now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Thank God. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I got to put my finger right here. So I come back to the right place. I am not the Holy Spirit. I do my best to stay under His leadership. But I am not the Holy Spirit of God. I cannot absolve or resolve your sins. I cannot guide you through some things. I can't direct your paths. It'd be nice if we had a physical person that we could call up and say, I'm going through the greatest storm of my life. Which direction should I go? Here's what you get to hear from your preacher. I'm sorry you're going through that. Have you prayed about it? Don't throw nothing at me. Have you talked to the Lord? Have you called upon the name of the Lord? Have you asked the Holy Spirit for leadership and for guidance and for clarity? Have you asked Him to move in this situation? Or are you just looking for a quick answer? Quick answers don't come from God. I read of one prayer in the Bible, where immediately God answered a prayer. Two times. One was when Peter was walking on the water and he cried out to the Lord, and the Bible says immediately. And the other one was Nehemiah, right before he asked the king if he could go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. He says, and so I prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord gave him the answer right there. Two times in 66 books of the Bible, two times where an immediate answer came. But I read over and over about people waiting on the Lord. Read over and over about people waiting for God to move, waiting on the Holy Spirit to answer, waiting on the Holy Spirit to direct their paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you, that all things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Jeremiah said, call unto Me. The Lord, through Jeremiah, said, call unto Me, and ask Me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Here's the problem. We don't even want to call. Now, that was in the Old Testament of the Bible. He was already making that promise. We'd rather receive without communication what God has for us. The Holy Spirit wants to hear from you. I got one more comfort to give you. The Word of God. The Word of God. Romans 15:4 said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, not for our ignorance to remain ignorant, not so that we can be ignorant about what God says, but so we can be learned. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience... Wait a minute, you might have to read something and wait on the Lord to show it to you. Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. When this world is crazy, God's Word is sure. I can open my Bible and find comfort from the unchanging, infallible, inerrant, undeniable Word of God. I've had people come to me with their Bible tucked under their arm, holding it close to their heart, and with their Bible in their hand, tell me how hard things are. Well, you don't understand what I'm going through, preacher. I've been telling our Sunday school class, we've been looking at practical things, practical ways to engage in the Word of God, and thank God for it. There are things in this blessed old book. It might feel mundane some days, but it'll keep you clean. It'll change your life. This blessed old book that we tuck under our arm, that we lay in our car, we stopped at Bucky's. I did something Friday. Where's Friday? I did something Friday. I walked into the Bucky's, and I walked out of the Bucky's without spending a dime. Miracles never cease. I walked in there, and as we were walking in there, I think I counted three cars in the parking lot that had their Bibles laid up in their back windshield. One of them was so sunburnt, it ain't been out of that back windshield in a long time. We have the key of all God wants us to know. It's about 2 inches wide, about 8 inches tall, or 8 inches wide, and 2 inches thick, 8 inches wide, 10 inches tall if you have mine. And it contains page after page after page of the leadership course that you need in your life. And it'll lead, guide, and direct you all the days of your life. The Word of God is sharp and quick and powerful, and it has the ability to comfort your heart. John 16:33, Jesus said these things, I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. K-N-O-W. You don't have to hope or wonder if you've been born again. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. What things has he get? What more comfortable of a situation can the Lord put you in? All of these promises that he's given to you. This is the difference between trusting your works and trusting grace. No wonder people are dislodged and uncomfortable when it comes to the Word of God. It's a mirror, and when you look into it, you see yourself for what you are. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. These things have I written unto you that you may know. It is certain that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's given you this entire book so that you can know that you're born again, so that you can know who He is. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, Thy comforts delight my soul. What do you need from the Lord this morning? What help do you need? He's got the comforts for you. He's got it in the Word of God. He's got it through the Holy Spirit. He's got it through His Son. And He Himself both gives and is comfort to the believer. What do you need this morning? Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, I've preached what I believe that You've laid on my heart. I pray, Lord, that You would give help, that You would be help in this time of need. God, we'd not look for comfort in any other thing. We would look for comfort in You. Help us, Lord. Help our church. Give us what we stand in need of. In Jesus' name I pray. Stand with us.